Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Friday and October at Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to know what's on your mind today. What's bugging you? What's in your heart? What's in your spirit? Something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question perhaps, or some issue that you're dealing with? Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Whatever the issue is or the question, we want you to call and be a part of this edition, 844-322-2742. Call now indeed, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and happy Friday to you and to all of our listeners. So glad you're with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We're talking about our identity in Christ and how that's so important for us to really grasp and fully embrace, because when we don't know who we are, that's when we play the religious games. Sure. To try to figure out who we are.
Yeah.
And God is not about that. He wants us to be really secure in our new identity in Christ, and he wants us to be so secure. He sent his Spirit and tasked the Spirit with the job of bearing witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God.
Yeah.
That's how much God wants us to know and fully embrace that identity. We read in John's gospel at the very, very beginning these words: "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." That was Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. And that's what Jesus experienced when he came into this world, a rejection by the very people that God had promised the Messiah to.
Yeah.
And he says this: "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So our new identity comes from new birth.
Right.
So we're born again into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and through that new birth, we gain a new identity, and that new identity is child of God. Now, there's no greater identity than we can have than that. There's nothing that stands above it. Now, the world will say there's all kinds of identities that will trump child of God, and they will try to lure you to embrace those labels. But God says, no, there's nothing better than being known as a child of God. There's nothing better than being a child of God. It comes from new birth. It's not of this world. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's God's will that we be born again into his family. It's God's will that we take on a brand new identity, that identity being a child of God. So who are you? Well, you're a child of God. You may work at a particular business. You may have particular hobbies. You may belong to a particular denomination, but none of those define who you are. It's this new birth in Jesus, this new creation that you have become by grace through faith, that defines your identity. And that is something that is unshakable, immovable. That is a foundation that is secure. You know, in this world today, everybody is struggling with self-image. We're all trying to improve our self-image. We see social media. One of the big problems of social media, it is undermining people's self-image. So folks get on that and they see all of these marvelous pictures, and it looks like everybody's happy and they just have the best life. And then you start thinking about your life, and you compare what you're experiencing to what you think those folks on those social media posts are experiencing. And then you start feeling bad about yourself, and your self-image starts to go down the tubes. And it's crazy to think this, but the reality is today suicide rates are rising because of that very issue. People are condemning themselves, judging themselves, coming to the conclusion that they just don't measure up. And they're basing all of that on social media, social media influencers. I was talking to my wife, Gina, last night or the other day, and she said, I just hate that word influencer. But yet we are so fickle, we're so shallow that we let these social media people influence our thinking about ourselves. Well, let's go to somebody that really matters. Let's go to God and see what he thinks. Yeah. And if we've received Jesus, if we've believed in his son, then he gives us an identity that no one can take away, an identity that's going to stand forever. So who are you? You are a child of God. If you have been born again, if you have believed the good news concerning Jesus, that he died for your sins, that he was buried on the third day, he was raised back to life. If you've believed that and received him, then you have been born again into the family. You're a new creation. You have a brand new identity. Embrace it, and I guarantee you, your life will never be the same.
Bob, thanks for that reminder that there's nothing better than our identity as children of the living God. What an identity that is, and we thank God for giving that to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. 844-322-2742. That's the number, of course, to dial if you'd like to pose a question or discuss your particular issue on today's edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want you to come on in right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, by the way. 844-322-2742. And friends, we're in the final days of the countdown to October 15th and the first day of our United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. And we want you to be there. Event information and registration is available at basicgospel.net/united. There you can find your ticket to come and hear and see and meet two of the finest teachers of our time as they expound on the grace of God. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, United. Again, information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united, by the way. 844-322-2742, and that's the number to dial right now. The lines are open. We await your call. And, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris, and I had a question for you guys. I ran into a Jewish person at the grocery store and tried to share Isaiah 53 with him, and he was saying some Roman emperor guy made up the Gospels and made up Jesus, as in it's all false and everything, and was wondering, know what to say next time if it comes up again. Thank you. All right, bye.
Well, Chris, great question, and certainly as far as the Gospel is concerned, there are thousands of objections, and people who are skeptics, people who really don't want to hear or listen or talk about what the Bible really has to say or talk about the message concerning Christ Jesus, they are quick to throw out an objection. And it's really just something to keep the conversation from going deeper, where their heart might be exposed for what it really is, and their need for Jesus might start staring them right in the face. So people are quick to deflect. People are quick to hide behind these objections. So I think we need to realize that. So somebody saying that the Gospels were just made up by some Roman emperor, well, that's just something that guy has heard. I mean, that can be debunked very, very quickly. I mean, the greatest historians, both atheistic historians, believing historians, they all are in agreement that the Gospels are legitimate eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus Christ, of his death, of his burial, of his resurrection. So we have a lot of information available to us that proves the veracity of these words that we read in the Bible. And we recognize that it wasn't just made up stuff, that Jesus was an actual historical figure, that he lived at the time that the Bible places him in. And if you read the accounts, you see that this is that this story is placed into a historical context. We see the birth of Jesus happened. Quirinius was governor. We see all of that. So Luke was very, very good at couching it into the history that was happening at that time. Yeah. So there's just too much evidence to show that these are true eyewitness accounts, and we can take them for what they are. Now, we may not believe, somebody may not believe the message. Somebody may not believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Somebody may not believe that he was actually raised from the dead, but you can't deny that what was written about it, that story, is historically accurate. Like I said, there's just too much. So what I would do is not worry so much about the objection. And I would just go right to the heart of the message, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that Jesus Christ was buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. That's the power of the gospel. That message contains the power of the gospel. Expose somebody to that power and allow that power to do its work in a person's life. One of my friends, Larry Taunton, who's been on our radio broadcast a number of times, he's debated numerous atheists throughout his ministry career, and they all kind of have the same narrative when it comes to debate. And he had befriended one, and they had a road trip that they took together, and part of that road trip, Larry asked this guy to read through the book of John. And so he opened up through to the Gospel of John, and he started reading that first chapter, and he looked over at Larry and said, "I didn't know that's what that gospel account said." So a lot of people just haven't read it, so their objections are based on secondary sources. They're not based on what the Word actually says. So give the Word out.
Yeah.
Let the Word do its work. And leave the results in God's hands.
Chris, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. Give us a call if you have further questions. We'd love to hear from you again. Right now, friends, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That's toll-free, the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And Bob from Connecticut, Maria, wrote to us. She says, "I know prayer is important, and that's the way we communicate with God. I pray and talk with him on a daily basis. However, I don't get why people pray for something, and then if they get it, they think it was their prayer and faith, and if they don't get it, they think that they don't have enough faith. I have learned that it is not by works what we do or believe. It is by grace. So how can I interpret that?"
Well, I think you've interpreted it really well. So we have an opportunity to take our desires, the things that are going on in our heart and our lives, to God. That's the privilege that we have as children of God, that we are in relationship with God the Father. And certainly prayer is one way that relationship is carried out, that we get to talk to God. And how exciting is that? But we do have to, I think, step back and say, hey, that's just part of the conversation. But anything that comes to me, anything that's good, is from God's hand to mine. And it's out of his good pleasure, out of, as you say, out of his heart of grace for you and for me. So we always want to say, hey, my prayer did this, or my prayer did that. We go to the book of James and say the righteous, or the prayer of the righteous man is effective. And we look at Elijah, how he prayed for rain, and God brought the rain. Well, Elijah was simply praying what God had already said to him, that if the people bowed their knee to foreign gods, he was going to dry up the land, yeah, that he wasn't going to send rain. And if they would turn from the foreign gods and come back to him, then he would open up the clouds and let the rain pour. And so they were bowing their knee to foreign gods, and Elijah simply prayed what God had already said would happen. So he was just echoing back to God the words God had already said. So we need to realize that when we pray things in accordance with God's will, and what is that? It's praying back to God what he's already revealed to us. And then we know that he's going to hear us and he's going to answer because that's his heart and that's his promise and that's his declaration to us. So we're not going to say, hey, that my prayer accomplished that and God really likes me. Well, yeah, God really likes me. And whether you prayed that or not, he was probably going to give that to you. Yeah. So we do have to recognize that this life from start to finish and every aspect of it is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is free and it's available to everybody. But getting it on the air and streaming it online, it costs money to do that. And it's only because you give that others literally around the world have heard and will continue to hear, believe, and live in the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Please log on to basicgospel.net as soon as you can and make a donation to help us keep the good news coming. And when you make that happen, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support, supporting the message of grace on Basic Gospel. Again, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button right there at our homepage. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in from Brad in Tennessee. He says, I think we're all guilty of using certain verses from the Bible to prove our points or to make others feel better. One of those verses is Jeremiah 29:11. God is speaking to Jeremiah and to all of Israel, yet I know he says that in my own life I've used this verse countless times to show Christians that God has a purpose and a plan for their lives. I think this goes back to the issue of joy. It is about how we view things. Joy is something we can experience even in pain. Likewise, God has plans and purposes perhaps for all believers, but it could be that a person cannot see this in its earthly value. Can you please speak a little bit about these verses such as this, and even though it was spoken to a specific individual or a specific nation?
Well, Bob, that's a verse that is quoted often, and I'll just read it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And boy, what a promise that is. And it's certainly words that we would all like to cling to, that God has a future, God has a hope for each and every one of us. Now, most of us think of it in terms of a plan. God has a specific plan for our lives, and it's going to be exciting to see it unfold before our very eyes. And so we're just waiting, kind of on pins and needles. Yeah. In expectation. But when you put this verse in context, I think it really points to all that God has brought about in the new covenant. So this is chapter 29. Jeremiah is speaking to the people of Israel. He's a prophet. God is speaking to Israel through this prophet. And he says, I have a plan. It's going to be of wholeness, not of evil. It's to give you a future and a hope. And you go over just two chapters, chapter 31, starting in verse 33. And guess what? Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So what was the plan of God for the people of Israel? It's called a new covenant. That was the plan. And guess what? That new covenant has a future. The old covenant didn't have a future. Why? Because the end of the old covenant is death. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, that old covenant, that covenant that was written on letters of stone, is a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment. There's no righteousness to be earned through obedience to that covenant. Why? Because they kept falling short. So if there was going to be a plan and a future and a better hope, it's going to have to come through some other arrangement. And that other arrangement is called the new covenant. So God was speaking through the prophet to tell the people of Israel that something is coming. It's in the future, but once it arrives, It is going to be a plan that has a future for you, that's built on better hope. Why? Because it's built on better promises. So when Jeremiah says that that God has a plan for the people, that specific plan is the new covenant that was ushered in at the cross by Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. He fulfilled it in every aspect. He didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it. Well, when he said it is finished at the cross, it was fulfilled in its entirety. And then his blood being shed was the cup of the new covenant. He ushered in a new covenant. And this new covenant is a covenant that has a better hope because it's built on better promises. So that's the plan God had for the people of Israel. And guess what? That's the plan that God has for us. When we receive Christ Jesus, we wrap ourselves in this new covenant, mm-hmm. a covenant in which God writes his laws on our hearts and in our minds, a covenant in which we are God's people, a covenant in which we know the Lord from the least of us to the greatest, a covenant in which our sins have been forgiven, and a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. That's good news. Talk about a plan. That is a specific plan. So we don't have to sit on the edge of our seat or on pins and needles wondering what God's plan for our lives are. We already know it. It's for us to be in Christ, for Christ to be in us, and for us to experience his life to the full through this new covenant. That is God's plan for us. So let's embrace it. Let's take hold of it, and let's live it to the full.
Yes, indeed. Bob from Virginia, Steve, points out that the law is the first five books of the Bible. And in that, he says that Paul, in many places, that said that believers are no longer under the law. Hebrews 8:13 says the old covenant is done away with and replaced by the new covenant. Is the old covenant referring to the law and everything else before the cross, the Psalms, prophets, gospels, etc.? Seems like in many verses in the Psalms and, of course, the prophets point to the new covenant. Help me clear up my understanding.
Well, everything in the old points to the new, as the writer of Hebrews says, the law is a shadow. Well, what casts the shadow? Well, the reality. Well, what's the reality? Jesus Christ in this new covenant. So everything in the law points us forward to Jesus. But there was this Mosaic covenant. There was the law of sin and death. We all come into this world under that law of sin and death. And now that we've received Christ, we've gone from death to life. So in going from death to life, we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so we can say with boldness and with confidence exactly what Paul said in Romans 8:1, therefore, in Christ, there is no condemnation.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us for this. Actually, this does it for another week. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your help is vital to ensure that the message remains on the air and online. Donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel. Hey, over the weekend, if you have Bible questions or personal issues that you'd like to pose to us, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it next week on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. The listener line is always open for you, our Basic Gospel listeners. Also, join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central. Click either Facebook or YouTube at the very top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sunday Morning Live, online only at 9:30 Central this Sunday and every Sunday with Bob Christopher. Again, that those links at the top of the homepage for Facebook and YouTube, we put them there to be an assist to you to log on to the program. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.